We'll stand together for the reading of the Word of God, Psalms chapter 40 and verse 1. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies or idols. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works, which thou hast done, and thy thoughts, which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Skip down to verse 14. Let them be ashamed and confounded together that seek after my soul to destroy it. Let them be driven backward and put to shame that wish me evil. Let them be desolate for reward of their shame that say unto me, Aha, aha. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, The Lord be magnified, but I am poor and needy. Yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help, my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. Did you notice? Verse 5, Thy thoughts which are to usward, they cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they're more than can be numbered. Verse 17, I'm poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Father, I give glory and honor to you this morning. My heart can hardly grasp what I have just read, that the Almighty, infinite God thinks upon us. Lord, that every individual in this place is known to him, intimately known to him. Every detail of our life. God, I pray that you'd help us this morning to take comfort from the Word of God, for the testimony of who our God is and how our God relates to us. Oh, Lord, speak to hearts in this service. There are those in this house this morning that do not know the Lord, do not recognize the goodness of God as yet. I pray that they will become acquainted with the Lord this morning. Find in Jesus the hope, the comfort that they need. And we'll give you the glory in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. I would like to speak to you this morning with the help of the Lord on God's thoughts about you. God's thoughts about you. You know, this is such a startling truth to me, that God thinks about you, that you are in God's thoughts. I mean you. You are in God's thoughts. You're in God's mind. And it didn't begin when you were born. Even before you were born, you were in God's mind. While you were still in the womb, the psalmist tells us in Psalm 139, verses 15 through 17, My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. You were in the thoughts of God. You are in the mind of God. Before you were ever born, while you are still in the womb. In fact, you were in the mind of God before you were ever conceived. For the Bible tells us in Ephesians 1 and 4, According as he hath chosen us in him, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. God made some plans for you before you ever came into this world. Before the foundations of the world were ever laid, God made some plans for you. God planned for you to be holy and without blame before Him in love. Praise God. So you've been in the mind of God way back before you were ever born, way back before the foundations of the world were ever laid, before time ever began. You were in the thoughts of God. God's been thinking of you and planning for you before He ever hung the earth in space or ever lit that sun out there in the universe. God had you on His mind. The Bible says in Matthew 25 and 34, when the Lord calls the sheep on His right hand, the King says to them, "Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." So the Lord has you in His mind. You have been in His thoughts for a long, long time. And His thoughts concerning you are benevolent thoughts. The Bible says in Jeremiah 29 and 11, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." That is, to give you a future and a hope. Are y'all hearing me? Are y'all listening to me? God says, "My thoughts about you are thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." That is, to give you a future and to give you a hope. God has benevolent thoughts towards you. He loves you. And His thoughts towards you are very positive thoughts. God wants to give you a future and a hope. Praise God. Oh, the Lord certainly is not pleased with when we are living without hope, when we are living in despair, when we are living with wrecked lives. That is not God's will for you. God has thoughts, good thoughts, about your life. God's thoughts are revealed to us in two ways. One, through His deeds, and the other, through His word. And we see the deeds of the Lord in our life, in our history. He said in my text in Psalm chapter 40 and verse 5, "Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to us." So we understand God's plan for us by what He's already done for us in our life. "Many are thy wonderful works that you have done toward us." So when we see our history, we see the plan of God, God's plans, God's thoughts concerning us, being worked out in our life in the wonderful deeds that God has already done for us. David illustrated it in his own life in verses 1 through 3. He said, "I waited patiently for the Lord." This is some of the wonderful works. This is an illustration of the wonderful works that God has already done for David that illustrates the thoughts of God concerning him. He can see God's thoughts in his past, the wonderful works God has done for him. Look at this. "I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me." Look, do you get this? He said, "I was waiting on the Lord, and He turned, inclined unto me. He turned toward me." Praise God. "And He heard my cry." Have you ever felt the Lord turned towards you? Praise God. That was Nicodemus, that blind man. Bartimaeus, the blind man. And he's crying out, "Thou Son of David, have mercy upon me." Jesus is walking by. All of a sudden, Jesus stops. He hears that voice. "Jesus, Thou Son of David, have mercy upon me." And Jesus stops. And he turned to this man who was crying out to him. And Jesus took time to heal that man's blinded eyes. He heard his cry. He inquired unto him. And he answered his prayer. David said, that's what God did for me. He heard me. He inclined to me. I waited patiently for him. He brought me up out of the horrible pit. Out of the miry clay. And he set my feet upon a rock. And he established my going. I don't know what David's situation exactly may have been. But he said whatever it was a horrible pit. Miry clay. And God inclined to me and lifted me up out of that miry clay and set my feet on a rock. Praise God. Oh, this is how we see the plan of God for us, the thoughts of God toward us, and the good things God has already done in our life. He put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. God turned things around for me. I was in that pit. God brought me out of that pit and put a song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. I'm telling you, you may be this morning in that horrible pit, but if you'll cry to God, God's got good thoughts towards you, and He can bring you up out of that horrible pit and put a song in your mouth, even praise unto God. God can turn things around in your life. Hallelujah. Because God has good thoughts towards you. Thoughts of peace. And not of evil, to give you a hope and to give you a future. God has good thoughts towards you. His deeds reveal that. You know, history, someone said, is His story. That is, it is God's actions illuminated by the Spirit of God. We see in history. The working, the thoughts of God worked out in man's history. You may have heard of St. Augustine, that brilliant theologian of the 5th century. Augustine got saved. His mother was saved. His dad was not saved. His mother prayed for him for years. And he was a profligate, immoral, brilliant, and godless. He was a university teacher and didn't have anything to do with his mother's God, but his mother prayed for him. I've told you about it, how that she went to the preacher and asked the preacher, her pastor, say, please talk to my son, because I'm not going to talk to your son. And she begged him with tears, please talk to my son. And he would not do it. He said, he's not ready for me to talk to him. And he would not agree to talk to her son. And after she had pleaded and cried and wept and begged, he finally told her, he said, lady, he said, the son who is the object of such tears cannot help but be saved. And one day God got a hold of his heart, and God saved St. Augustine. Later on he wrote a book called Confession. It's one of the classic books of the Christian church called Confessions. And in his confessions, he muses on his childhood. And he tells about his aversion to study. He didn't like to study. He was a typical boy. He loved to play. He loved sports. And he said, I was compelled to study by my parents. I would not have learned had I not been compelled. He said, I had a fondness for play, for sports, for the honor of victory. And he could not understand why he was forced to leave the play for the study. When the adults that was compelling him loved the sports themselves, held those who entertained them in high esteem, and desired the sports glory for their own children. So after his conversion, he recognized that those who forced him to do well in his studies were not really aiming for the glory of God. They didn't have that in mind. But they compelled him anyway. to do good in his studies. And he said, for they considered not in what way I should employ what they forced me to learn, unless to satisfy the inordinate desire of a rich beggary and a shameful glory. In other words, they probably hoped that I'd use that learning to gain glory for myself. They didn't really have the right object in mind, but they compel me to learn. But he says, but thou, God, by whom the very hairs of our heads are numbered, didst use for my good the error of all who pressed me to learn. He would put that learning to use in the kingdom of God. God's plan was being worked out in his life. The thoughts of God were being manifested in his past, in his history. You don't see it sometimes. You don't know it sometimes. But God's thoughts are being worked out in your life, and you don't realize it. You don't know what God is doing, but God has a future for you, and God has a plan for you, and God has a purpose for your life. And those things you do not understand sometimes, God is preparing you for something in the future. Look at Joseph. Look at Joseph down in Egypt, sold by his brethren, thrown into a prison, suffering untold agony, finally elevated from the prison to the throne. His family comes down to Egypt in the time of famine, and God spares their lives. His father dies. His brethren come to him. They're the ones that sold him. They come to him. They're afraid that Joseph is going to take vengeance on them. And Joseph speaks out of a mature wisdom. He says this, Genesis 15:20, as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. God's thoughts concerning Joseph, he could not have known when he was being sold by his brethren. He could not have known when he's being thrown in a dungeon what this was all going to work out to be. But God was using the circumstances of his life to save his people and to bring about salvation for the whole nation of Israel. God was working a purpose. I'm telling you, God has thoughts concerning your life that you don't realize what all God has in mind for you. Oh, his thoughts towards you are good and benevolent and useful and purposeful. God has good thoughts towards you. We see that in our history. But we also see it through the Word of God, because the Word of God is the expression of God's thoughts. When you read this Bible, you hear me? When you read this Bible, you are reading the thoughts of God. That's what you're reading in this Bible. You're reading the thoughts of God. Every word in this Bible is inspired by God. And it's profitable for doctrine, for correction, for reproof, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished to all good works. So you're reading the thoughts of God in this Bible. And so we see his thoughts revealed here. Now look, I want you to see this morning. If I can, I want you to see this. If I can make it clear to you, I want you to understand the thoughts of God towards you. That they're good and precious, and God has some wonderful things for you. And so we see in the Word of God that God says, listen to this, concerning you, God says that he is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You see the thoughts of God towards you. God is not willing for any one of you to perish. And God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. The Bible says in 1 Timothy, I believe it is chapter 2, have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. And the Bible tells us that God is for, if God be for us, who can be against us? And then he goes on to tell us, he that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Do you understand that God is for you, and the thoughts of God are good towards you? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? God's aim for you is that you be saved and that you not perish. That is God's thoughts about you. I tell you something else God thinks about you. God's thoughts about you, His plans for you, are that you be conformed to the image of the Son of God. We've got two choices in life. We're either going to be conformed to the world, or we're going to be conformed to the image of the Son of God. And you can't be both. You've got to fit one mold or the other. So you're either going to be conformed to the world, or you're going to be conformed to the image of the Son of God. And it is God's purpose and plan in Romans chapter 8, for whom He did foreknow. That's me and you. He knew us ahead of time. For whom He did foreknow, He did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. Now understand this. God's predestination is not that God looked into time, selected this one to go to hell, this one to go to heaven, this one to go to hell, and this one to go to heaven. But God looked down in time, and He said, I'm predestinating men to be conformed. This is the predestination was a function. That was a purpose. God predestinated us to be conformed to the image of His Son. This is God's thoughts concerning us. This is God's plan for us, that we be conformed to the image of the Son of God. So this is God's thoughts towards you this morning. God wants you to be conformed to the image of His Son. So He puts in our life, influences. He puts in our life circumstances to bring us to His plan. Hallelujah. That we be conformed to the image of the Son of God. God's thoughts about you, God's plan for you, is that you resemble Jesus Christ. I read to you early in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4, that God hath chosen us in Christ that we might be holy and without blame before Him. This is God's purpose for you. This is God's thoughts about you, that you be holy and that you be conformed to the image of the Son of God. Oh my, if we could just turn look into God's mind this morning and see what God is thinking about you. I'm talking about you as an individual. You just look in God's mind and see what God is thinking about you. What are His plans for you? What are His thoughts concerning your life this morning? Have you ever thought about that? Could you look into God's mind? If you could look into God's mind this very morning and see what God is thinking about you, about Kara Prescott, about Matthew Wade, about Judy, what would God be thinking about us this morning? Oh my, we know from this word that I've read to you that God's thoughts are on you. This morning, God's thoughts are on you. And what would God be thinking about you? If we could see in God's mind, what would be His plans for us? His plans are that you be pardoned. His plans are that you be an overcomer. His plans are that you be a joyful saint. In God's thoughts, you're walking on streets of gold. Hallelujah. This is God's plans for you. This is what God wills for you. This is what God wishes for you. You're walking on streets of gold. Some people want to obtain all the gold they can in this world. And God says, I'm wanting you to walk on gold. Hallelujah. Oh yeah. This is God's thought. That you eat of the tree of life. His brother Mike was teaching us this morning. That you eat of the tree of life. That you drink of the water of life. It is God's plan that you be part of that assembly around the throne of God, crying, Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. That you be enjoying the presence of God for all eternity. The Bible says, I hath not seen, neither hath ear heard, the things that God hath in store for them that love Him. But listen to this, but the Spirit hath revealed them unto us. So the Spirit of God is teaching us those things God has in mind for us. Hallelujah. I said the Spirit of God is teaching us those things God has in mind for our future. So the things you can't get grasp hold of,
God has sent His Spirit to teach us that there is a wonderful future ahead for you if you trust in Jesus Christ and live your life for Him. The Bible says in Romans 8:28, "For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." We know that because God's plans are towards you of peace, of good. They're benevolent. Now, here's the problem. The problem is we make our own plans. That's the problem. God has plans for us, good plans for us, wonderful plans for your life. But the problem now, and some of you are listening to me, and you know this is you. The problem is you're making your own plans, and you're not seeking the plan of God for your life. And even though God has good things in mind for you, you are steering for a wreck this morning because you're leaving out God's thoughts and you're making your own plans for your life. Do you hear me? I said, this is your problem, is that you are not submitting to the plan of God and not seeking out the thoughts of God concerning your heart, your life. You're making your own plans apart from God. And it's going to be problems, trouble ahead. I want you to understand that you have an adversary. You have an enemy who is making plans for your destruction. You have an adversary who's trying to put you down a detour. You have an adversary who's trying to trip you up and deceive you. He has thoughts of evil towards you. He has thoughts of destroying your life. The thief cometh but to kill, to steal, and to destroy. And if you cooperate with him, he'll destroy you. But if you will cooperate with God, I'm telling you, if you'll listen to God's voice, seek out God's thoughts, God has wonderful things in mind for everybody in this place this morning. The thoughts of God toward us are good. Hallelujah. And He's thinking about you right now. He knows who you are. The very hairs on your head are numbered. He knows what direction you're going in. He knows whether or not it's important to you that His plan be worked out in your life. And I'm going to give you a chance right now to pray. Because if you are here and you're resisting the plan of God for you, you are on your way to real trouble. If you don't give up and submit yourself to the plan and purpose of God for you, I'm telling you, this ought to be the most important thing in your heart, is that you find out what is the will of God for my life. And some people spend all their life saying, well, I'm trying to find the will of God. Hey, listen, God will let you know what His will is. And the way you will know His will is whenever you get willing to do His will. When you get willing to do His will, God will reveal His will in your life. You know, you got young people, y'all hearing me. Young people, you have got to get to the place to where it doesn't matter to you. And you are willing to accept whatever God says. If God says no, hallelujah. If God says yes, hallelujah. Whatever God's will. You have got to be willing to say yes to God's will. God's got a plan for you. He's got a plan for your life. And you got to get rid of your own plans and submit to the thoughts of God concerning your life. And I wonder, while Sister Judy comes to the piano, I'm not going to tarry long here, but there may be somebody in this place. You're rebelling against God. You know God has good thoughts towards you. He loves you. He gave His Son to die for you. He has your best interest in mind. But you're resisting God's plan. And you already are suffering from it. But God can turn the tables around. Bring you out of that deep, dark pit. pull you out of that miry clay. Set your feet on a rock to stay. Y'all, somebody wrote a song about that. And I reckon the first time I ever heard it, and I hadn't heard it much since, was at Mount Tabor camp meeting when I was just a boy. He brought me out of the deep miry clay. He planted my feet on the heavenly way. I'll tell it wherever I go, for I want the whole world to know. I'm glad that He loved me so. Let's sing it. All right, let's stand together. And if you're here and you need Jesus to pull you up out of that deep, dark dungeon you've fallen into because you chose your own way, God will hear your cry.